Amen. Good to be back here. I feel like I'm backslid. It's been so long since I've been here. Anyways, God bless y'all. It's good to see everyone again. My goodness. My. Have been doing all right? Good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here this morning. Let's just go to prayer. Just kind of change the order of the service. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that we can come this morning, Lord, and gather with believers. And Father, will you promise to be in our midst? And so, Lord, we are expecting to hear from you today. We know your presence is here already, Lord, and you're already gone to battle and pushing out the spirits of doubt and unbelief and all the hindering things that would come against us, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, we stand here now this morning just with expectations. And, Lord, you will meet our expectations. So if we expect to hear from you, you promise to meet that, Lord. So I ask you, Lord, come in such a special way, Lord, that each person hears from you this morning, that each person looks past their flesh to the person standing up here, but they hear the voice of God speaking and walk from here with a greater revelation of who they are and how you see them, Lord Jesus. Father, you know how this message has been burning on my heart for a while, Lord, and I just ask you to help me just completely get out of the way, Lord, and just let you completely take over so you can say the things the way you want them said, Father, and then not have me any part in it at all. Lord, we just believe this. We ask this, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. If you want to read from the Bible, we're going to read from two places. Revelations 5:6, and then also from Matthew 5 also. So let's go to Revelation 5 first. Revelation 5 and 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Turn to Matthew 5:17-18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. You may be seated this morning. Several years back, I don't know, it might have been 6, 8, 10, I don't know. But I was walking, I was doing a hike here in a park in the middle of Tennessee, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just came and he started dealing with me in such an amazing way, one of the best times I've ever had. And what he was doing, he started talking to me about the seventh seal and the threefold purpose and how Brother Rand brought that all out when he preached Christ is a mystery. And I just had an amazing time. And I got back to my car, I said, oh my goodness, this is so powerful, I can't wait to preach it. And then he didn't have me preach it. Several years later, all of a sudden he came, okay, now is the time to preach it. I said, well, now is the time to do it. So I preached like 17 messages or something on it. And I was getting towards the end, I was preaching all the three folds, and I was getting to the end, and I said, but what is the purpose? I didn't know. And I said, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden he just faded away. He says, stop preaching on it. I never finished it. And that was several years ago, 17 or 18 or something, 2017 or 20, something like that, I don't know. And then about 6 or 8 weeks ago, I was sitting right up here while I was standing. Brother Nate was coming out, just ready to leave, start the song service. And here it came just right into my mind. So for the last 6 or 8 weeks, I've been studying on this. And it's burning me up. So last time I spoke here, I spoke on it just to kind of give a kind of foundation for what we want to speak today. So I want to speak on the threefold purpose again. But I'd like to get, Lord will allow us to want to get all the way to the purpose. Now I'm just going to scratch the surface. You can preach on this for months, literally. But I think if we can see this today, it's going to give us a greater understanding, a greater solid footing of where we are and how God sees us today. All right? So what is the purpose of the three folds? We talked about how there's three folds, but they have to have a purpose for those three folds. And you say, what's the rapture? The rapture is a purpose, but that's part of it, but not all of it, because people have been raptured without ever getting to these three folds. Remember that third fold is all the way back to Eden, right? So people have been raptured without ever getting there. There's been raptures in the Old Testament. There's going to be raptures in the New. But for whatever reason, the bride of this day, we have to fulfill this whole plan of redemption, including getting back to Eden in order to fulfill this purpose that we have, right? So let me read some quotes here. I got a lot of quotes this morning. Brother Branham said, this is a threefold purpose. First, to express himself completely, right? God in Christ, second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is the body of the bride. He could have the preeminence to express himself through them. Again, it's God expressing himself through something. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowshipped with them. And now sin and death had separated them from his presence and his entire expression. Do you read it? Before the foundation of the world, to express all of his attributes, what he was. And so sin had stopped it. He was expressing himself to Adam and Eve before the fall, his full expression. But then before that could completely be carried out, sin separated from his presence and his entire expression. And he wants to express his entirety, and he couldn't do that because of sin. Now you see the seals when he was here in the mediatorial work back there redeeming. Someday he comes forth to get this book that he's redeemed, and all that's in the book would be him. So we just saw how the Lamb came and took the book. He opened the book, right? We know how that was the opening of the seals. He gave that book down to the seventh church age messenger who was on earth at that time. And Brother Branham preached the seals, and that's why we're coming from tonight. This is about the opening of the seventh seal specifically. He said, all that was in the book would be him, for that's the believer. Do you hear what he said? All that's in the book is him, for that's the believer. Oh, my. This makes us stretch a little bit. So we're him? Can you believe that? That's what he said. That's the believer. The word's in the book, and the word is him, and all that's in it. So he's saying you and him are the same, and we are the words in the book. And so when he opened up the book, what did he see? He saw you, the word. That's what was in the book. He comes forth for this book of redemption, whose names are written on the book before the foundation of the world when he was slain as a lamb. Just the same as he was slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, your names were in this book before the foundation of the world. And when he opened it up, it exposed your name. It showed who you were all the time. That's what it's all about. So you say, well, where is this book? Let's look at that. We're going to talk about this. Where do you find this book, and what is this book? Pages are slow turning. All right. Notice the tree of Christ, the body in the garden, Garden of Eden, making his mystery known to his bride tree, redeemed by Christ, the second Adam, going back home to Eden with this fallen wife, redeemed back home again. That's home, friends. This is where we're supposed to be. That's Christ and the church today. Christ and the church today. Remember, this is the age where he can marry her. The rest, he couldn't marry her, but this is the age of marriage. This is he's talking about today. We are the ones who had to be restored back to Eden. Taking his wife back. See the threefold mystery now? God manifested in Christ. Christ manifested in church all together to bring back the original Adam and Eve again. The original Adam and Eve. What was the original before the fall? Pretty simple, right? All right, stand with me. Good. Man and woman, which was one, male, made out of the same blood, same spirit, everything else. The man and woman was one. We are in Christ are one. We are him. We are the word. We belong to a kingdom, and the kingdom is the word of God made spirit and life in our own life. Well, we can stop there. The kingdom is God, is the word made spirit and life in our own life. So if we don't see the spirit, the word being made spirit and life in our own life, then we are not fulfilling this thing that he's talking about. We're just religious. Bringing to pass every promise in this day as it did in that day. Oh my. Every promise that he gave to Adam and Eve before the fall, they were fulfilling it. And we must do the same thing today. Every promise as it was in that day, it needs to be fulfilled in this day when the word and God was one. Back there, the word and God was one, manifest to Adam and Eve. Today, the word of God is one, manifest to the bride, all the way back to what Adam and Eve lost. And the word of God is one in his church today. Making it the headship of the body. Do you hear what he's saying? This bride is the headship of the body. The headship comes down and sits on the body. It's that pyramid capping off, and you are the very one he's doing it through. The bride is the headship is coming down because he has become one with you. Oh my goodness, we're not just some Christians, just like, you know, down through the ages, but we are the very ones that bring the headship down onto the body. That's why he said, they without us could not be made perfect, because it takes this perfect bride. Yes, that's what I said. This perfect bride has to be the one that he can indwell and come down and make the body total, because you are the headship. I'm not talking about your flesh. I'm not talking about Phil or Paul or Wayne. I'm talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. The headship of the body. That staggers me. The headship of the body that is redeemed to bring the message in the last day. We are supposed to bring the message in the last day. Brother Branham preached it, and we are the fulfillment. That's how we bring the message in the last day, taken up from the dead and the resurrection to go back and restore again to Adam and Eve in the beginning of the Garden of Eden. Did you hear what he said? Taken up from the dead in this body, taken up from the dead to go back and be restored back to what Adam and Eve lost in this body. My. The threefold mystery of God is purpose. Oh, my goodness. When Brother Branham was preaching, he was preaching Christ is a mystery. He said, this is the complete plan of redemption. The threefold purpose is the complete plan of redemption. John, let me see, souls in prison, Brother Branham says, John looked around and here sat God on the throne with a book in his hand that had been sealed with seven seals. The whole plan of redemption was in it and had been lost by the human race, Adam. It went back where Satan couldn't take it. He just caused him to lose it. So when he's starting to preach this, he's preaching the complete plan of redemption. Friend, if this was a complete plan of redemption at the opening of the seals, then we did not have the complete plan before. Think about it. If we would have, the rapture would have gone years ago. It would have gone in that first church before they fell into sin there at Nicaea. It would have been the first church. We would have had the whole thing. They would have been raptured there. But the reason it couldn't happen, friends, because a lot of us weren't born back in the time of Paul. He had to wait. He bought it. He paid for it on Calvary. But he had to wait down through the ages till everyone who was going to be redeemed was redeemed. All right, and he had to come all the way down to this time. And then he said when he saw that the last person had been redeemed or was going to be within that time frame, because we're not going off into another age. This is the last age, so everyone's going to be redeemed. It's either on earth right now or it's really quick to be born, and then it's going to be another few years. Brother and sister, we are right at the end. And this is a complete plan of redemption, the complete everything. So before the opening of the seventh seal, the plan of redemption was not complete. We didn't know it. That's why John wept. He knew something was missing. He knew if that book wasn't open, then everything was going to be lost. We could never fulfill this. That complete plan was not going to happen. And we were just all gone off until the world just kind of fizzled out and blew up or whatever's going to happen in, you know, millions of years from now. But that would have never completed this. And we would have never come back to our home, which is here. Why do we have such an affinity for being home? Why do we have such a desire to be, you know, I travel, I come back home, it's nice to be home, it's nice to come back to this church because this is my home church. Really, just something about humanity. Humans, we need home. When I work with the kids, you know, a lot of these kids, they don't have a permanent home and they're just tossed to and fro, and you can see it just messes in their mind because I don't have any place where I belong. Friends, we have a place we belong. Why? Because redemption's plan has been shown to us. We know it's going to be completed, and we know we have a home where we're going to live forever. Amen. Redeemed. Redemption could not be complete without the complete plan. And redemption means restored back to the original, not just partway back. Oh my goodness, I think I spoke this last time. But Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell at Pentecost, the book was still closed. They did not have the full plan yet. They did not see the completion of it. They said, let's get back to Pentecost. We haven't go back to Pentecost. And then when he preached this seal, he said, now we go to Pentecost. We pick up Pentecost on the way back to Eden. Paul didn't know this stuff. Paul didn't read the book of Revelation. John didn't even know what he was writing when he wrote those symbols. But in this age, it's been coming. That seal's been opened, and this book is a new book. And now we see the whole plan of redemption, which is you got to go to Pentecost. You can't skip it. But that will take you all the way back to fulfill the third fold, because Pentecost is just the second fold. It's God having preeminence in his body. But then he got to take that and go back to Eden, back before the full redemption. Oh, hallelujah. It's the full redemption. Everything Adam lost, until we get there, the redemption isn't complete. You see that? Does that make sense? Adam and Eve, without sin, then they fell. Full redemption, you had to get back before the fall. It's just that simple. He said, but we're in these bodies. We make mistakes. Hang on to that thought. Hang on to that thought, friends. We're going to see what the Word says about it. You can either take that thought or you can take what the Word says about it. Oh, my. There's no complete restoration without a complete plan of redemption. And this has been preached, brother. He preached this back in 1963. And it's just recently that I even start seeing the truth of what I'm seeing right now. So what was it? It was just time. Why am I preaching this morning? Because God said, now's the time. Why didn't he have me preach this way back there several years ago? I don't know why, but he said, now this morning is the time to preach this. He has us all in order. There's nothing to worry about, friends. You know, sometimes we look around at the world and we say, you know what? We have to be at the end time because of all the crazy stuff going on there. It's insane. And that's a great indicator, but I have a greater indicator that the rapture's on hand because I see what's going on right here. And this right here is a greater indicator that Christ's about coming to take his church because there's believers in here manifesting the word for this day. That's a greater revelation. That's a greater indication than just what the world is doing out there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lamb had to take that book in order to reveal this to us. Let me read this, he says. You stay right in the promise of God, the word of God. And that word, if it's the word for this day, God vindicates it so. If he doesn't, it's not the word for this day. You can go to a lot of message church and hear a lot of good preaching, but the word for this day isn't being vindicated to be true. The word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. No, sir, that was for Pentecost. This is for the bride, the going home of the bride. We got something different. This is where you drop off a large percentage of message believers because they don't see the truth of that. You know, they say, hey, I have the Holy Ghost. I'm born again. That's good. But if you really are, it will take you all the way back to the fulfillment of this word. It won't just stop somewhere. That's why people say, well, I hear the prophet, I have the tapes, and we do this. Friends, that's not even close anymore. Not even close. This is something more than they had. This is that. This is all that plus what we had to keep going. That's what Brother Branham said. Denominations stop because they think we got it all. And so all we have to do is believe this. And God does not stop. Every day there's more word. There's more word. He continues to fulfill himself. And friends, what I'm going to preach on this morning here a little bit by the grace of God, it's what's true. But there's more. Don't say, well, I got it figured out. Now I'm just going to sit back here and wait. No, you're not. Not if you're a believer. You're going to keep pressing on because there's something inside you that says there's got to be more. There's more. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. So what is this book? You know, it's really a scroll. We call it a book. That's what the King James Version calls it. It's really a scroll. And Adam had it. But then when he fell, it was taken from him. Now, do you think Adam was running around Eden holding a scroll? No, he wasn't. When the Lamb took the book and handed it down to the seventh church age messenger, did he hand him a literal book? No, there's not a book. It's symbols. It's a symbol. So what is this book, friends? It's God's thoughts of you. Didn't I just say it? Didn't he just say it? It's his thoughts of you. You are the word, and it's in his mind. It's the mind of God. Oh, hallelujah. This book is his very thoughts. You are his attributes. In one place, Brother Branham said, in the back part of his mind, he saw you from before the foundation of the world. And all this is access. Oh, it's access to the mind of God. Hallelujah. That's why when Adam fell, he said he forfeited the earth and dominion of the earth to Satan.
And Satan's not, he doesn't have a title deed for it, but he's a squatter there. And he's squatting on this earth, and he's created his own. He's built his own Eden, 6,000 years of Satan's Eden, but he's just a squatter. It means he has no right. He has no legal right to this earth, except that Adam lost it. So he said, well, I'm going to move in. But he couldn't get the book. He couldn't get the book. Brother Rand says his dirty hands could not take that book. What is it? He has no access to the mind of God. He don't know what God is thinking. He can look and watch what he's doing, then he copies it. He tries to get ahead of him. He says, well, here's the prophecy, so I'm going to get ahead and try to get this accomplished. Or I'm going to do this. But all he's doing is just trying to guess. Oh, my. It's the mind of Christ. He had us in the back part of it, and he knew you were there. This book is a title deed. It's got everything in there that Adam lost. So what God had to do so that Adam wouldn't partake of it, he put a cherubim with a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the tree of life. What is it? He's going to seal it away until it's time for it to be revealed, because before that, if he doesn't, Satan can look at that and see what's going on, and he'd do great harm. Look what Satan has done to doing great harm when God, you know, God made a promise, and then Satan looks at that and says, well, I'm going to get ahead of him. Look at Eden, right? Here's Eve. She has a promise. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And you imagine what her and Adam, the talks they had about that, Eve was like, what do you think that means? I don't know, Adam would say, I don't know. Let's just wait and see. Yeah, but what do you think? Do you think it means this? Do you think it means that? And Satan saw that and said, there's the weakness. She has a lust for knowledge. She wants to know. She's willing to give anything to know what that is. It was a natural, godly, holy desire. It was exactly what she was supposed to have. But it got the best of her. She couldn't wait. Look at Sarah, Abraham and Sarah. God told Abraham and said, hey, you're going to have a child. You're going to be the father of nations. And what happens? Well, this ain't working out the way we thought. It's not coming in the time we thought it should. Why don't we try Hagar? Let's raise up another child. Look at the trouble that's come from it. Look at the trouble from Ishmael. Look at the promise we've had. We have a promise of a rapture. And look how many people around this message couldn't wait. They just couldn't wait. They had to produce their own rapture. We're going to worship ourselves into it. We're going to believe this doctrine. We're going to separate ourselves and do this. We're going to follow this ministry. And all the time, they're trying to produce a rapture instead of just wait. Just wait. It's going to happen. We're walking right into it. Can you wait? Eve couldn't wait, and she spoiled herself, and she wanted to commit adultery. That's what the church today is doing. The message believers are out there fornicating with all these spirits. Well, I think if we believe this, if we live holy enough, if we believe this doctrines, and they're out there fornicating with the word, and God just moving right past them. All right, let me see. When Adam had dominion over the earth, he had complete dominion, right? To have that dominion, he had to have creative power. The power of the spoken word. He could say, tree, move over there. Wind, die down. Wind, come up. I'd like to see a little in the whatever is going on. He'd move things around. He had complete dominion. He'd tell the tigers to go over there. He'd tell the elephants to go over there. He lost that. When you lost dominion, he lost that creative power. He was no longer the god of this earth. Satan became the god of this earth. But what did Satan not have as god of this earth? He did not have creative power. Satan cannot create. It's going to make me happy here in a second. What happens when we are restored back before the fall? We are given dominion again. We have access to God's mind. We again had that creative power. We again had the power of the spoken word. We are given something that Satan wished he had, but he can never have it because his dirty hands can never access the mind of God. He cannot take that book. But within that book, God sees you as a redeemed child of God, and you have creative power to speak what you need. Why do we think this whole, the third pull and all this with the power of spoken word? Brother and sister, that is part of your inheritance. And when we get that, we have that, I should say. It's ours. It's part of our inheritance. But brother and sister, God's only going to unleash that as he can trust us with it. I've heard people say, well, when I get that, I'm going to cause snow in July, or I'm going to do all kinds of stuff like that. No, you're not. That is only revealed, it's only unleashed to a mature person, a mature bride of Christ. When you look at that sheep, the wave sheep, Brother Branham, it was an example of when that part of that wheat had come to maturity. And it wasn't saying, oh, praise God, we have a prophet. Praise God, we have someone who's mature. No, the celebration is, the festival is, the thing is that that's about is to say the rest of the fields coming to the same maturity, the same ripeness. And what God did, look, when Brother Branham spoke to squirrels or spoke to the stormies, he spoke to Hattie Rice kids. It was not Brother Branham saying, I'm going to do this. It was sovereignly given. God said, come. He was out there hunting. He said, what are you doing out here? I'm hunting. What do you need? He told him. He said, speak to it. It was God doing it. God doesn't release this to someone who just wants to have a ministry. God wants to just impress somebody. But when you have need of it, God will come and say, speak to that thing. Speak what it is, and it will be taken care of. Why? Because you have been given dominion over this earth. You currently have that dominion, and yet we sit back like a bunch of little cowardly Christians, and we're afraid to say boo to the devil. We just want to sit here and just be a nice person sitting in pew because we don't want to get out there and fight for our rights. We don't want to take our inheritance. I'd rather just have someone hurt my feelings and sit here and don't say anything in church because my feelings are hurt. And then we think we're going to go ahead and be mature bride of Christ. It don't happen that way, friends. Got to come to a place where we look at the word and everything else goes away. We only focus on the word. This is our full inheritance. Dominion has been restored. We are no longer, I know this hurts, you are no longer in a fallen condition. You say, well, look at this body. That ain't you. That ain't you. When that book opened and God looked in there and saw your name on there and he called you and he chose you and you saw your name in there, did you see yourself as a sinner? Because if you did, you didn't see yourself yet. Brother and sister, ye saw you as a redeemed child of God, completely restored. Yeah, we're gonna go back. We're going to get new bodies. We're going to get a new mind. We're going to have different ways of dealing with things. But brother and sister, if that soul hasn't been restored already, you need to be born again. That's what it is. We are no longer in a fallen condition. This is our full inheritance. That's why we battle ourselves. That's why we go through these things, is because we had to come to maturity where God can unleash this power, this authority to you. Because right now, you know, if I get in a bad mood or something, I'm probably going to tell someone off. God said, I can't have that. I can't release that power to you to use that on just your own personal stuff. So what happened when the book was opened? It restored the dispensation of innocence. This is how God sees us now. Let me read some long quotes here. When man sinned, he separated himself from God and crossed the great chasm, put himself in death on this side. He left. There's no way back. There's no way for him to get back. But when he did, God accepted a substitute, which is a lamb or goat or sheep, something for blood, which Abel spoke of on the other side of the chasm. On that side, he's a son of God. He's an offspring from God. He's an inheritor of the earth. He can control nature. He can speak into existence. He's a creator himself. He's an offspring of God. So, oh, when I can get there. How do I say this nicely? Friends, if your attitude is, when I can get there, you're confessing you're not born again. Because when you're born again by the word of this day, it automatically puts you there. You say, well, I don't see it happening. No, because your maturity ain't there yet. That's the problem. Especially when you confess something like, well, when I can get there. You already had that creative power. You already are that person who's redeemed. You're already that person who's been placed back there without sin. He said, God sent from heaven a bleach for sin. It was the blood of his own son. Then when your confessed sin drops into God's bleach, try to find it again. The coloring of sin goes back through the mediator, down through the time until it hits the accuser. Satan lays on him till the day of judgment. What happens to the son? He becomes in perfect fellowship with the father again, standing on the other side of the chasm with no remembrance of sin against him. No more. There's no more stain of bleach. Can see anywhere. He is free. Brother and sister, we are free. It's been taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are being washed in the bleeding word. This word is washing us. It's the bleeding word. It's making us so completely free from sin in your soul that the sin cannot be seen anymore. Listen to what he said. Our sins are in the sea of forgetfulness. We can no more be accused of sin. Oh. We have confessed it. We have made things right. And now the great chasm that was between us and God has been taken away. God put the sin in the sea of forgetfulness. He can never even remember us anymore as sinners. We are no longer sinners. We are sons and daughters. God cannot even remember you as a sinner. He only sees you as a son or a daughter. He said, now God seen the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. He never manufactured. He created a chemical in the blood of Jesus Christ that sin once confessed in the right way. You don't even bridge that chasm. You take the chasm completely away, and God don't even know that you ever. The chasm is moved. The very nature of God in your heart. But God in his creative power created a blood cell without sexual desire in the womb of the virgin. That don't only cover sin. It omits sin. It takes it so far away till it's never in the mind of God again. It don't make a bridge across a chasm. It moves the chasm.
I got to read one more. When I got these about this chasm, it just fried my mind.
Now there's not even a chasm there between. A man and God become father and son. There's no sin at all. Do you understand what that means? There's no chasm. You know, I could say, you know, I've even preached this, you know, like I'm here and there's that. I have to get across that chasm. I couldn't get across because of my sin. But then he made the way I get across. But here's the reality. There's no chasm. He cannot even remember that you were ever on that side. He cannot even see it. There's no chasm. Why? Because you've been restored all the way back before sin. Your soul has been restored back before you ever did anything. You're back in the Garden of Eden. You know, full redemption takes you back there. Now, this is just the soul. Remember, it's going to take care of your body. It's going to take care of the earth. The whole earth needs to be renewed. Everything has to be renewed. But right now, if you can just grasp it, you can actually believe it, there is absolutely no chasm. You are always... You were always in fellowship with God. You were always an eagle. You lived in a sinful condition for a while. But when you saw who you were and you rose up on that flying eagle anointing and you looked down and said, I was never even in the chicken pen. I was never in the chicken yard. I was never there. I have risen above it. And that's how God sees you. Why? Because when that book was open, he looked in there and said, there's my kids, just the way I remember them. Hallelujah. That's the way they were in my mind before I ever created it. That's the way they always have been in his mind. Oh, do you see what it meant when he took that book? That's why John looked over there in the book and he started shouting. Brother Branham said he saw his name. You know what? He didn't see himself and say, oh, there's John, the sinner saved by grace. Oh, no, he didn't. Because in that book, you are not a sinner saved by grace. In that book, you never were a sinner to begin with. You are restored back before you ever made a mistake. Way back before Adam and Eve ever sold you into sin. You have always been that in God's mind. Can you understand it? Can you accept how God sees you? Can you claim that for yourself? Oh, my. I'm just getting started. Open book. Let me just say it again. The open book has you the way God saw you from before the fall. And when we're going to see that the old book, the book of your birth is done away with. And all God can do is see you as a completely redeemed before the fall. Not even redeemed because there's nothing to redeem anymore. You never failed to begin with. It's just too simple. It's too simple. Can we actually believe that? Can we accept that that's what God sees? Because Satan looks at, look at your sin. Look how you fall. Look at all this weakness. Look how you're getting old. Look at all this stuff going on. And you sit there and you look him in the face and say, yeah, but let's talk about how God sees me. Go ahead and accuse me. I make mistakes. The accuser there accusing us before God. Go ahead and accuse me. God looks at us and says, I don't see anything, Satan. Imagine how frustrating it is for him. Justification. Let me read something here about justification. Well, let me just talk about it. I thought I had another quote here. If Brother Green, for instance, if Brother Green, you know, justification, right? He said it's when you never did it in the first place, right? If Brother Green heard that I've been drinking, I've been doing bad things, and he found out I didn't do them, he could come and say, I forgive you, Brother Green. Forgive me? I never done it. What are you forgiving me for? If I'm guilty, I can be forgiven, but I'm still not just because I did it. See, this is where denominations and a lot of message believers still believe. Yeah, I did it, but I'm forgiven. It's put in the sea of God forgiveness, but I did do it. That ain't it. Because you're still being forgiven. Think about it. But the word justified is though you never done it at all, justified. Then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin till it puts us in the book of God's forgetfulness. He's the only one can do it. We can't. We can forgive, but we cannot forget. I could forgive you, but I always remember you done those evil things. Then you're not just, you're forgiven in the sight of man. But in the sight of God, the bride is justified. She never done it in the first place. We've heard that for our whole life, haven't we? Let's look at the depths of justification here in a minute. He says, standing there married to the virtuous Son of God, never sinned in the first place. Why? She was foreordained. Did you hear what he said? We're going to read, hit this real hard, drill it down. But she was foreordained. That's why she never did in the first place. Because in God's mind, he takes her all the way back before any sin. See, the denomination and people, they can't grasp that. It's, well, foreordained, you mean she not did it because of the blood of Jesus Christ. No, the blood of Jesus Christ takes her back before she did it. Think about it. It was she was trapped into this. And then when she heard the truth and come forth, the blood cleansed her. She stands there virtuous, no more sin at all. Married to the virtuous Son of God, the virgin bride of Christ. Christ can only marry a virgin. That's why in this day is when is the age of marriage, because he takes her back. He cannot marry someone who's not a virgin. He had to wait for this time. Brother Bram said this. He said, a woman was made a byproduct of a man, but because she was cast over on that side, she has also been given a sacred charge from God for redemption. Sacred charge from God for redemption as a woman. She's got characters that she must not defile. If she would mar them, she's defiled for lifetime. No matter how much she's forgiven, she can't be justified. I'll strike that in a moment. God got a scripture on that in a few minutes. She can be forgiven for a defilement. She cannot be justified in this life. It's always with her. So what Brother Branham is saying is here in this life, if a woman is ever touched by a man, she can never become a virgin again. You do not restore virginity. Right? That's what he's talking about. Christ can only marry a virgin. Well, then how does that happen? Because who in here has been sin-free? Whoever here has not been partake of some kind of denominational thought or idea sometime? That's fornicating with the word. That's what he can't stand. He can't deal. He can't marry someone who's done that. You say, but you just said we're sinless. Yeah. But how do you store virginity? See, when we think of justification and we think of like, I told a lie yesterday, but it's in God's sea of forgiveness. I'm justified. I never did it, right? We repent and all that. But how do you store virginity? That's more, friends, than just being forgiven of sins or just like I did this or do that, because once a woman's untouched, she cannot ever be untouched. How does that work? We can accept that sins are erased. We never did it. Denominations can produce that kind of forgiveness. Sins are cast away. John wept. Why? Who can produce it? Who can bring forth a virgin bride out of someone who's not a virgin anymore? How can redemption be complete if Christ needs a virgin bride to marry? Let me just read this. You separated from your first union by spiritual death. Now you are born again or remarried again to the new spiritual union of not your natural life of the things of the world, but of eternal life. The germ that was in you at the beginning found you. So he's talking about two marriages, two unions, two books. and you were born into this life, trapped into this. It was your marriage to your old nature. It's your marriage to your fallen nature. You didn't have a choice. Now your old book is gone with your old union. Your name in your old has been transferred. You say, do you mean to tell me that my old book, God put it in the sea of forgetfulness? You stand perfectly before God. Your name is now in the new book. Not the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life, what the Lamb redeemed. Not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride. See, that's why there's so many people in the book of life, and their name is on there. And at judgment day, they're going to be judged for what they did on this earth. They're going to be judged for the actions. But your book, your name was taken off that book when you were born again, friends, and it was put over on the new book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And actually, it was not actually transferred. You just recognized it was always there. You recognize that it was always there, and here's your name on the book of life, but it gets erased. You say, where did the book of life go? And you look over here, oh, it's on this book all the time. I always was on that new book. That's why I never did it to begin with. I was predestinated. My name was put on there before the foundation of the world. I was ordained to life. I was the elect of God, and that was nothing I did, but God just happened to choose me. Oh, my. The old book, your old life is completely done away. And yet we go in there all the time and say, yeah, but why did this? I have regrets for doing this, and I feel bad that I did this, and I wasn't a very good parent, and I wasn't a very good boss, and I wasn't very good, and I had all these mistakes, and Satan just comes and just drills our mind with all the mistakes we made in the past. And you can listen to him if you want. And get all down and depressed and feel so bad about things. Or you can take the mind of Christ. Your name is in the new book, not the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed, not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life, your marriage certificate. Your marriage certificate, where your eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. Now you're not only forgiven, you're justified. When you were born again and you saw your name, it was called, and you saw it written here in this book, and you know that there was something about it, you couldn't get away from it, and it called your name, you recognize this is your marriage certificate. You've been married to Jesus Christ. When you're born again by the word of this day, you're automatically, that was your marriage certificate. You're married to him. And he won't marry anything but a virgin. He won't marry anyone who has not been restored all the way back before the fall. So for brother and sister, this is not something we're heading for. Oh, this is not something one day, brother and sister, we're going to be back in Eden. If you are born again, you're already back there. You already are pure and sinless before Jesus Christ. You already stand there completely redeemed. The full plan of redemption carrying out, take you right back there. That's where you are now. That's where you are now. Oh, my. You're justified. I'm going to skip a little bit. He said, now, if I did it, I'm found guilty, but you could forgive me. I wouldn't be guilty, but yet I'm not justified because I actually done it. The word justified as you never done it, not even regarded at all. How is it done? In God's book of the sea of forgiveness, your old book and marriage is divorced and dead. Your old marriage is dead. You are no longer that. It's dead, and you can be remarried to the new bride, to the new the Lamb, to Christ, the new word. Old book and marriage is divorced and dead. Not even in the memories of God. You're justified. Oh my. How do you come to do this? You were deceived into it by your first marriage to your adulterous parent Eve. It's no fault of your own. By your natural birth, you come after Eve who committed adultery. That's the reason you were born an adulteress. Every one of us was born an adulteress into this natural life. You're a sinner to begin with. You were deceived into it. It ain't your fault. You never did it. Listen to that. He said, you're a sinner to begin with, but you never did it. Why? Because this carnal, this body we're born into, this spirit we're born into, this soul before it was degenerated. Brothers and sisters, this is sin. It's all sin, but you never did to begin with. And once you divorce that and you die to that old man and you're reborn by the word of God, the word for this age, then, brother and sister, everything is washed away. You stand there as a virgin. That little germ that was in you was to be before the foundation of the world. God put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. When God opened that book, all he can see is you before you fell. Oh my. Oh my. I am really running out of time. I'm going to have to skip a little bit, otherwise I'll never get done. He said, you are the pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the living God. Every man and woman that's born of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and believes every word of God, stand as though you never sinned in the first place. You're perfect. You ever go around confessing you're perfect? Yeah, say that to your spouse sometime. In God's sight, you are. You never did it. You were accused of it by the accuser, but really from the beginning, you were predestinated to be a son or daughter of God. There it is. What makes it? It's just predestination, friends. You are predestinated to fill this role. This is your purpose in life. To do what? To get you to the purpose, says the threefold purpose. We ain't even got to that yet. All right, let me move on. You say, well, then how can you restore virginity? That's how you do it. You take it back before the fall. Before they fall. Absolutely. So then why do we need to get there? What's the purpose now? We don't know. We talk about all these threefolds, but there's a purpose behind it. There's a reason for getting us back there. Not just to get us there, but what's the reason for that? What is the purpose? So we're going to do just very briefly, or I should say very shallowly, just a scratch of this. But there's got to be a reason for it. So I'm going to turn to Genesis 1:26, and I'm going to read something to you. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That was the first thing God ever spoke to man. That was the original word that God gave to man. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and have dominion over the whole thing. That was their original purpose. Every word has to be fulfilled. Not one jot or tittle can pass away until it's fulfilled. That was never fulfilled the way God wanted it to be. Right? Satan got to Eve before that could be completed because she wanted to fulfill that so bad that she was willing to take a substitute and try to fulfill it. The same thing we do. We want the rapture so bad, some people are willing to take a substitute and try to produce the rapture. Sarah tried that with Hagar. Eve tried that, and we see what happened. Because we have such a desire, such a holy, godly desire to see the word fulfilled. So she got ahead of God's program. Brother Brandt says this, if the people will walk in his perfect will, he does have a permissive will he'll let you walk in. He permits it, all right, but he will make it work out for his glory in the perfect will. Just like in the beginning, it was not God's perfect will for children to be born on the earth through sex. God created man out of the dust of the earth, breathed the breath of life into him. He became a living soul. He took from that man a helpmate and made a wife to him. That was God's first and original will. That was how they were supposed to. I don't know how it was going to be like. I don't know anything, you know, it's the spoken word, but it was going to be the spoken word. And Adam and Eve were supposed to multiply, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish your. That replenish word actually means fill. That's not a good interpretation of that word or translation. It actually means be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. With who? The elect. Adam's race. You recognize Adam's race really is only the elect. Because without sin, that'd be only one on earth. Right now, we should all be on this earth with millions of others of the elect. Just a perfect paradise. There'd be millions of us down through the ages. Well, you see where we're at because of the fall. That was what was supposed to happen. That was his original will for them to fulfill the very first word he gave them. But when sin came and did the thing that he did, then he permitted man to marry a wife legally and have children by her. Multiply and replenish the earth then, if that's the way you're going to do it. But you see, it never was his perfect will. So God said, okay, go ahead, and we're going to let time go on. We're going to do it this way. But that's not my original will. That's my permissive will. And I am going to have my original will take place. It's going to happen. I am going to bring that original word. It's going to have its original purpose. And I'm going to do it my way, not your permissive will. Because then you have Satan having some part in redemption. And Satan has no part in this redemption. Satan is not going to have anything to say about it. It's going to come back to this the original word being fulfilled according to God's perfect will. Therefore, all these things that had a beginning has to have an end. Sex has to have an end. Bringing forth kids like that has to have an end. All sin has to come to annihilation. All sin has to be done away with. Therefore, in the great millennium, when the resurrection comes, we will not have to be reborn again by our fathers and mothers. But God, like he did in the beginning, will call man from the dust of the earth and his helpmate with him. That's the way he did it at the beginning. Oh, we're getting to what we're talking about here. Our purpose for going back to Eden, friends. Do you see where we're going? This is our purpose, friends, to fulfill that original word the way God wanted it fulfilled. Oh, my. This blows my mind. It just, how can this be? How can this be? We look at this and we are so in here. We're all the way through it. We are back in Genesis, friends. Your name, you are associated with Genesis. You're right there in it, right there with Adam and Eve. Oh, it's hard. Oh, my. Our minds are just, we need revelation, that's all. Oh, my. See, God never changes his mind about anything. He will permit you to go on. God will permit you to do something, even bless you in doing it, but it still isn't his perfect will. He said, my word is going to be fulfilled according to my perfect will. That's the purpose. That's the threefold purpose. To get us back there so we can fulfill that word. We must submit ourselves to his will and his word. Don't question it. Believe it. It's so hard to believe these things because it puts us in a place that our mind just doesn't go. Don't try to find a way around it. Just take it the way it is. So many want to go around, get some other way. And when you do, you find yourself going on. You find God blessing you, but you're working in his permissive will, not his divine perfect will. He permits it, as I said, but he will not let it be his perfect will. We can try to produce a rapture. We can do all we can, but it will not be his perfect will. But he'll make it work to his honor and bless his perfect will. And childbearing by sex is one of that. That is not the way it's going to be, brother and sister. His perfect will is to bring forth child by the spoken word. God is not going to accept hybriding the word to fulfill his purpose. Going to be his perfect word. That's why the seals were open. We have the pure word. We see exactly who we are. We see exactly what Satan did down through the church ages. We see what God did down through the church ages. It brings us all the way up and it makes sense. And we see here how it had to end up right here where we're at. And then it takes us from Revelations all the way back to Genesis. And we see where we're standing this morning. Amen. Let me see where I'm at here. I got to finish here. Look, when Adam first had that book, it was not a book of redemption. It was a book of life. There's nothing to redeem. That book of redemption goes back to being the tree of life, the book of life that was guarded in Eden so that no one could take their hands and ruin it. They can make a mess out of it. And Satan tried all he can, and the denomination tried all he can, but it was sealed up so that when it was opened up, the pure word would be there to restore us back to where we came from, back to the book of life. What life? Your life. It's recorded of you. Your name is in there. You see why so many people can't see the message of the hour and so many people can't go on? Because if your name isn't in there, you can't see it. It's not there. It's not there. And they can be saved and they can believe the Bible and they can accept Jesus Christ and they can even believe the message and the prophet and all these things. But if their name isn't there, they can only go so far. But if your name is there, you cannot just go so far. It will draw you on. What is that pull? That pull is drawing you more. And there's got to be more. There's got to be something more than just sitting in a message pew. There's got to be something more than just trying to live a good life. There's got to be something more because it keeps pulling me. I'm so thirsty for something more, something to satisfy, something inside that. There's got to be more of it to satisfy. You cannot thirst for something that there's nothing to satisfy it. And friends, if you have something inside that just drawing, it just wants more God than you have, then there's more God out there. It's the opening of the word. And he said, will you just please believe what I'm telling you? That's all he's asking to do. Just believe what I'm telling you. That's all it takes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Complete redemption requires God's perfect will. You cannot have redemption without a perfect will being fulfilled. It's got to be going back and taking this, what he has us for do, the original word. Christ marries his bride. You're married to him. And when he marries her, he gives her his seed, which is his word. What does he want you to do with that seed, with that word? He don't want you to just hold on. Oh, we got the truth. We got the truth. We got the prophet. We got the message of the hour. We got the truth. How many thousands of message believers are walking around crowing about that they got the seed? It's like a farmer. He has a bunch of good wheat, and he puts it in a silo. He said, I got a good silo full of wheat here. What are you going to do with it? Oh, hey. I go in there and I kind of run my hands through it every once in a while. Man, that's some good seed in there. It's perfect seed. Are you going to plant it? Oh, I got a good silo for a seed. What do you mean plant it? What? If I put it out there dirt, it'll die and rot. If you keep it in here, it won't produce what it's supposed to produce. People crow about the message believers and all this kind of stuff, and the word has not been planted because there's no ground to plant it in. When they do plant it, it doesn't bring forth because it's the wrong kind of ground. Oh my. So what does a bride do? She takes that word and she brings forth life. You want to know if you're married to Jesus Christ? I've got an evidence for you. Life that you're leading, that's living through you, is the manifestation of the word for this hour. Not just a good message believer, not just a good Christian, not just a good person, but the very word that is spoken, you see it manifesting through you. The word for this day. Because the only way that can happen is if God revealed that to you, which is him implanting a seed in you, and you bring forth Christ in this day. It's the only way that can happen. And so if you see that happen, and recognize where you are. And you cannot do that if you have not been restored to Eden. This tells you where you're at, friends. Do you dare believe this? I challenge you. Go ahead and accept this. This is, okay, that's where I am. Let your confession be. Okay, that's where I'm at. Because if you don't confess it, friends, it ain't going to happen for you. It's not where you are. You know, it's not going to fulfill this word. Look at Abraham again. Let's go back to there. God told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. When he was 75 years old, he said, get up and go. Abraham went. He said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Over the years, he told him, you're going to be the father of many nations. After a while, Sarah got impatient. They said, well, take Hagar. Let's make it work this way. Cause all kinds of problems. He said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham was 99 years old. And God told him, oh, by the way, it's going to be through Sarah. Abraham did not have the revelation that it's going to be him and Sarah until he was 99. He never had the faith to believe it was going to be through Sarah because it hadn't been revealed to him. You ever think of that? It had to be opened up. That seal of who it was going to be through had to be opened up before he could have the faith to believe it. Before that, yeah, I believe it. But then when he said, but now it's going to be through Sarah, you know what Abraham did? He laughed. He said, oh, how can that be? We're old. Oh, that you just do it through Ishmael. But that anchored in his heart, and he started believing it's going to be through Sarah. And then God appeared to Sarah also and said, it's going to be through Sarah. And she laughed too. But yet the word anchored in them, and then what happened? They went ahead and had an Isaac because it had been revealed to them what God's perfect will was and how it was going to be happened. Not through some permissive will, but God said, it's going to be through Sarah. That's the same thing here, friends. You can take this and look at it and take the message, whatever you want, but it's opened up to you. It's like you are back in Eden. Go ahead and believe what he's telling you. Go ahead and believe it, that you're justified, that you never did it. Go ahead and accept that. That's where you are. I'm so sick of my own confession. Oh, God, I just feel so weak. Sometimes I just don't seem to be around. Sometimes I just get so lonely. Sometimes I'll, oh, shut up, Phil. Oh, my goodness, why don't I start confessing what he sees? He don't see me as some little worn-out old man walking around Laverne, Tennessee. He sees me as a restored child of God. Let me confess that. He sees me in fellowship with him with nothing in between, no chasm between us. He looks back at my life and he says, what are you talking about? He said, we're in perfect fellowship in our soul. What am I confessing? Well, Brother Paul said something. Brother Paul doesn't want to fellowship with me. Well, Brother Paul, oh my goodness. And I'm going to release my spoken word creative power to that? I don't think so. She's still a teenager. Friends, she takes this word and it produces Christ. That's what we're doing now, the spoken word. Look how you were born again. You were born by the spoken word. If you're born again, you were born by the word for this hour. You can have a sensation, that's not a new birth. You could have emotions, that's not a new birth. You could believe all the Bible, that's not a new birth. You could see all kinds of mysteries in the message, that's not a new birth. But when Jesus Christ speaks that word and brings that seed inside of you to life, that's the birth. It's a word birth. That word spoke to you and you recognized who you are and you saw your name in the book and you say, oh my goodness, I'm an eagle. And you're born again. It's what we're doing. We're bringing forth children by the spoken word right now. Right now, we're bringing forth life by the spoken word. We're going back to the original way. You are all spoken in this age by the word of this message. If that's where you're born again, then if you're born again in this age, that's how it happened, by the spoken word. But that's not all. That's not all. See, this isn't only for those of us who are living on earth right now. Because there's not enough bride members to fill the earth. And we have to fill the earth. Let me read you something. Very, very familiar. You could quote it. Thessalonians, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we be ever with the Lord. The voice of the archangel. Brother Branham says this. The first thing, a shout, then a voice, then a trumpet. Shout, a messenger getting the people ready. That was the message of the hour. It got us ready, got us ready to go. Took us back to Eden. The second is a voice of the resurrection. The same voice, that a loud voice in St. John that called Lazarus from the grave. The same voice of the resurrection. He called the voice of Archangel here. He calls the voice of the resurrection. It's the same voice that called Lazarus. It's the voice of life. It's calling the dead back. Getting the bride together. And then the resurrection of the dead to be caught up with it. Now watch the three things take place. Next is what? Was a trumpet, a shout, a voice, a trumpet. The third thing is a trumpet, which always is a feast of trumpets, calling the people to the feast. That'll be the bride's supper, the lamb's supper, the bride in the sky. So what we have here is we know the message. The shout went out with the messages. Come out of here, you know. Gathered together, this is the message of the hour, and it called us together. It told us who we are. And then we know that the trumpet, when the trumpet sounds, it's actually going to call us up, take us up off the earth, and meet the Lord in the air. We're going to do the wedding supper. But in between those is a voice. And that voice is what gathers the bride together. That voice... That voice is what calls those sleeping saints over in that sixth dimension. It calls them back to this earth. Oh. The first thing comes forth is a message, calling the bride together. The next thing is a resurrection of the sleeping bride. The one that's died back in the other ages, they're caught together. And then the trumpet, the feast in heaven. Friends, what we're doing now is we are getting to a place where it's time for that voice to sound to call those saints back from the sixth dimension. They're over there having a big time. They're having a wonderful time. But let me tell you what, their anticipation is so high because they know it's just about time to be coming back. You know who's getting a lot of talk right now? They're going to Lazarus and saying, what's it like, Lazarus? What's it like to have your voice called? What's it like to have them call back from this place back to that place where you're going to? And Lazarus said, well, that time I didn't really want to go, but this time it's going to be great. That little girl who Jesus raised from the dead, she said she just sleeps. What was it like to be called back? Because this is what we're getting ready for. And any time they're going to hear their voice, they're going to hear the voice of the resurrection, call them back, and they're going to come back, and they're going to flood the whole earth with millions of elect. And we're going to fill the earth with the millions of elect, and we're going to fulfill that part that God said in the very beginning, replenish or fill the earth. And it's going to be the voice that calls them back. Amen. Well, who's going to be that voice? You know it is. We're ready there now. He said, we're right there ready now. The only thing the church coming out has to lay before the sun to ripen. The great combine will come by after a while. The wheat will be burned, the stalks, but the grain will be gathered into its garner. He said, we're ready for it now. He said this back in 1965. He said, the only thing we have to do is come to maturity as a bride so he can trust us with that voice. Friends, the only reason that he has me speaking this morning and wait till now, he says, now it's time. I trust you with this. Go ahead and start believing what I'm telling you because it's time to call him forth. You've heard this quote many times. In the last day, there is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. That's the final voice to the final Gentile age. Brother and sister, that voice comes through the bride. That's who you are. This is your purpose, is to call them back over there and fill the earth with all these saints that have gone before. Can you imagine? That's why they cannot be made perfect without us, because we had to come to perfection in order to call them back. Yes, sir, the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It's her own mouthpiece, but God is turning on her. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride, for the voice of God will be in her. It's hard to believe it, friends, but God is actually going to use the bride. He's got us to the place. The purpose of that threefold mess, the threefold purpose of that, the purpose is that so she can come to a place where she can fulfill that part of redemption, is to bring them back. Take up bodies. We're going to get new bodies. Why? Through the words you speak, you taking the word in your mouth and confessing it. I don't think we're going to sit there and say, John, come on back. Jimmy, come on back. It's not going to be like that. It's the same way you recognize your name in the Bible. Your name isn't written in this Bible. I saw like Phil Bontrager's not in there. Jimmy Terranova's not in there. No, but it's in there, isn't it? Friends, I don't know how it's going to work, but you're going to be confessing the word. You're going to have, thus saith the Lord, and you keep still. And someday that word is going to speak and it's going to call them back because of the voice, your voice that comes through you. That's the way it is, friends. You're going to be that voice to the final age if you believe it, if you will walk in it. Why would God have me speak this morning? Why would he come to this place? Why would he give more light on this subject than before? Because he's saying, would you start confessing this? You need to start believing this. Just like Abraham had to start believing it's going to be through Sarah. You need to start believing it's going to be through you. You need to start confessing that this is my purpose in life. Everything else is secondary. Everything that I do on earth is secondary. My life, my family, my job, my church, everything is secondary except to fulfill that purpose that I was brought here for, and that is to speak the voice, to be the voice that speaks and calls that resurrection back. The very voice of the archangel, the very voice of resurrection is Jesus Christ, you and him, one, and he's speaking through you, and they're going to come back. You want to see your family? You want to see those people who have gone before? You miss them a little bit? Well, brother and sister, the only way that's going to happen is when we start believing what he says about us, because they're waiting on us. We're not waiting on them. They're waiting on us to come to this point. And Brother Branham said, the only thing that's keeping it is our lack of maturity. Our lack of maturity. We had to lay in the presence of the Son and ripen. But we still get so tore up about so many little feelings. Oh, friends. Therefore, the message calls the bride together, the shout and the trumpet, the same morning, that same morning with a loud voice, he screamed out that voice and woke Lazarus. With a loud voice, he cried, Lazarus, come forth. And the voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. Oh, my. That's our purpose, friends. I think I'm done. Do you believe it? Your purpose. This is just that first little part of that purpose is to complete all redemption, to get them people back so that the trumpet can sound and we all go up to the wedding supper. But if we don't come to that point, we're just going to be sitting here on earth waiting to that point, waiting until we get there. We need the last person comes in, that last person is born again. Unless the last person's come to that maturity, whatever it takes. I don't have any idea what it's going to look like. I don't know how that all works. But brother and sister, this is what the word says. Friends, if we can just accept what God says about us and stop being kicked around by Satan's accusations. Oh, you're too weak to be that person. You can't overcome this. You can't be that person. It's not got to be you. You got to do this. You got to live a holier life. You got to know, friends. You got to believe what the word says. The word will produce everything that you need because we are washed by the bleeding word. Do you understand what's cleaning us? It's the bleeding word. You hear the word and it washes you by believing it. It's not, well, if I could overcome this, Brother Phil, I start confessing that. You're never going to get there. It's the bleeding word that washes us. The word is preached and you believe it. And that is what the very thing that cleanses us from all these stuff and gets us to the place we need to be. You were always meant for this. Your purpose in life was this. The bride's purpose is to get here. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Before you took your first breath, that choice of breath, you didn't choose to put yourself here, friends. Your name was put on the book before the foundation. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You didn't put yourself there. You did not write your name on the book. God put it there. And all he wants you to do is recognize who you are. And that's why this word is coming, because when this word comes like this, some people sit there and listen to it and say, well, that makes sense, whatever. Other people said, that's something that's feeding my soul. What's it doing to you, friends? You can tell where you're at spiritually, because if this is just, well, Brother Phil's up there, they're stewing and stomping around, and it's not having much an effect, you're not in a very good place spiritually. But friends, if you can see this is what God is speaking to you, and this is what God is doing in this age, then you recognize, well, I might as well go ahead and confess that I'm an eagle. I always was an eagle. I always will be an eagle. Satan never had a chance to get me. Satan never had a chance. You were never going to be lost. You never had a chance to be lost because your name was always on the Lamb's Book of Life in a place that cannot be removed. Amen. It can never be removed. How frustrating for Satan. How would you like to have his job? Here he's been tormenting you your whole life, and you come to a place and say, oh, I'm an eagle. Well, Satan, you never had a chance, did you? Never had a chance. Can you imagine? No wonder he's so angry. He's mad. He's like roaring like, oh, this ain't fair. I applied for a job many years ago. I was working at Jackson Academy. I applied for a job to be a policeman here in Dixon. And they had about 20 of us, and we had to do all this testing, the physical test, and a written test, and all this stuff. And we got to know each other. We was going through all this stuff, and we were getting ready. After all that was done, we kind of sitting back and waiting to see who gets the job. We found out a couple weeks later that they had already hired the guy before they ever even, not any of us had even applied for it. But they had to put the application out there to be legal. So all these people, hey, I want to do this, and we went through all this, and the guy was sitting at home drinking beer just waiting for that all to get done so he could start training. Frustrating. That's how it is with Satan and you. Oh, I think I got this one. I got this one. I'm going to get this. And then all of a sudden you feel, oh, yeah, you already had the job. You already were. And what the open book did was to show you who you always were. You always were that person. when Satan gives you a hard time, just remind him of something. I was before you. Before you were ever created, I already existed. And long after you're totally annihilated, I'll still be living. I'll still be living. And when you are in hell, laying on a bed of worms, you're going to be covered by worms. Go read Isaiah. I'll be walking down the streets of gold. Having a good old time. You're a creature of time. I'm a creature of eternity. That's what it is. You say, it's just not fair. Okay. If you find yourself in this place, friends, it's not about being fair as a human being thinks. It's God getting to choose who he wants to marry. Amen. Oh, my. Wednesday. Friends, I appreciate you listening. This has been on my heart for a while, like I said. Glad I could deliver it to you. I challenge you to do something, friends. Don't ever confess that I'm a sinner saved by grace. Confess that you are always a child of God. You lived in a sinful state for a while. Brother Branham said at different times in the message, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. He's telling people, don't elevate me. I'm just like you. We all had to be saved. We all had to go through the redemption process. But then we find out that in the mind of God, you were never a sinner to begin with. So let's take on the mind of Christ and confess who God as God sees us. Is that all right? Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you come this morning and speak to us. That you would have your way, Lord Jesus, in our lives, that you would open our hearts to see this and receive what you have for us. Father, if I said anything that wasn't pleasing to you, or if I said something that wasn't exactly the way you wanted it because of my lack of understanding, then just erase that from people's minds, Lord. Let the word have the effect you want it to have. Father, we believe you, Lord. We want to worship you now. We want to just express, Lord, back to you what this means to us to see what you have done for us. And I know for my own self, my mind, it just struggles to really grasp this. But yet, Lord, when you reveal it to me, it's just so simple. Let it be so simple in everyone's heart this morning, Lord. And as it comes into our minds to think about it, let us always claim the truth. Let us believe and confess what you have said about us, Lord. Bring us to that place of maturity. Bring us to that place where you can trust us with your word. Bring us to that place that creative power is restored back the way it needs to be. I know we have it now, but Lord Jesus is sovereign and you only use it as you determine. So help us, Lord, just to walk in humility as you have your way in our lives. Thank you for this, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise your name, though. In your name I ask this, amen. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, I love you, my Lord, with all my...